This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 on the evening edition with Kelvin and Hezril. And first up on our show, we're marking International Women's Day, which will be this Sunday. Okay, so we have to acknowledge that it's two men on air marking this day. And we kind of wish Lynn was here, but she's away right now. And we really, really miss her. Anyway, the theme for this year is Each for Equal. And it's meant to draw attention to the idea that gender inequality isn't just a women's issue, but an economic one.
Yeah, and we're going to look at this from the STEM perspective, specifically at a paper published in 2018 on the gender equality paradox in STEM education. And this is actually a paper that gets referenced a lot, so we thought it was finally time to really take a close look at it.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Women are still underrepresented in STEM. The traditional thinking is that the more gender equal a society is, the higher the number of women there will be in STEM. But one study found the opposite to be true. Instead, across most countries, girls are as good as boys and often better at math and science.
So in countries with greater gender equality like Norway and Finland, women make up less than 25% of college graduates in STEM fields. So countries with the most female college graduates in STEM fields were actually some of the least gender equal countries like Turkey and the UAE.
So it's surprising, but the takeaway here is that the reason is actually economical. In countries with less gender parity, STEM provides a means to a high income, to financial freedom. So women get into these jobs out of necessity and perhaps not out of interest alone. And what researchers think is actually happening in more gender equal societies is that women in these countries are more empowered by income equality to pick the career they want out of interest and ability. And of course, these countries also tend to have stronger welfare systems. So the women here feel more financially protected to go for other roles and other jobs.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I studied Middle Eastern studies in university, and having traveled to the Middle East and talking to women professionals in STEM, for them, at least from what they told me, it is a matter of choice. But another interesting to note is that a lot of them actually said, you know, I'm also going into chemistry or the sciences because my mom is a chemist or my mother is a doctor. So it's interesting how household influences are a factor, at least in the, you know, with the woman I talked to.
Yeah. And when we've had conversations like that in the past, I think together with some science communicators, female science communicators, what they felt was that, well, it was really my parents who really pushed me into this direction to get me to get into science in the first place. And though I think what this study perhaps might actually trying to indicate was that, and this is also based on what I was thinking and reading of, is that perhaps in the countries where it is more gender equal, that there might be a blind spot in how they might be thinking of dealing with the inequality in certain fields, right? You know, they're known for so many good things in terms of gender equality. They're known to have better representation of women in parliament and in their governance systems and all that. So maybe when it comes to thinking about, oh, do we still actually have problems in the STEM field, in certain specific fields where this might actually need some sort of addressing, that there is blind spots in trying to potentially seek out and deal with the problems.
Yeah, and, you know, back home in Malaysia, there's when we talk about interest in STEM in our education system, recently the education ministry was exploring how do we increase interest in STEM for both girls and boys, because it's, at least in with Form 4 students who are taking SPM in our national schools, it's not a matter of gender. It's a matter of, okay, the overall interest in STEM has just dropped. So how do we address that general issue? And that goes back to our education system.
Yeah, there is a sinking problem, right? And we do see a lot in terms of ratio, a higher amount of women compared to men in STEM fields. They go on to very high degrees of qualification, all the way up to PhDs. But right after that, it seems there is a drop-off in the field. I think when we talked about it during International Day of Girls and Women in Science and Math, was that they still face the problem that every woman worker, employee, manager, and so on, that they face. You know, they still have to do house chores in the job. They still face discrimination. You know, they're expected to... it's a weird balance that they have to play in the workplace, right? They have to look like they know and they have their expertise, so they can't look too young. But at the same time, you know, there's also questions about makeup. Is it appropriate to wear it in the workplace? And that's a conversation we had with a science communicator a while ago. So we're going to have this conversation now with Gun Okaboom. She's the former director at the Department for Education in Swedish at the Finnish National Agency for Education. Gun, it's good to have you with us. What do you make of the report? What's your understanding of it?
Well, I think it was interesting, actually, because this is, I think they are right in the sense that it has very much to do with attitudes and self-efficiency, and how you sort of as a girl or boy think about your own competence. Because we have made studies in Finland a few years ago concerning the competence in mathematics. And we know, as also this report shows and refers to, that the Finnish girls are even much better in many cases than the boys in math. But still, the girls, when they estimate their own knowledge in mathematics, they estimate it much lower than the boys do. And actually, this is a very, it's a very delicate, or it's an interesting thing, because we have discussed this about equality in our Nordic societies. There is, of course, we have reached a very good equality in society for both genders, but there are attitudes still. It's within the culture, you know, the norms. It's the way you talk to girls or boys about different areas in society and about future professions, etc.
Did you find the report findings aligned with what you're seeing or hearing from the ground?
Yes, I think I do. I think it's interesting. I'm going to distribute it. I didn't know about it, so I'm going to distribute it to some people I'm in contact with now, because one of the institutions that I'm working with in this project is the so-called National Center for Evaluation in Finland. And they, it's exactly them that they have been doing these kind of studies with. They are doing now at the moment a longitudinal study about children's knowledge and how they build it up from grade 1 to 9. It's interesting to see that in grade 1 they can see no gender differences between the competence in reading or anything else, actually. And then the differences sort of, they grow during the school years in different ways. And I've also heard a lot of stories about girls and women who have been told at school that they should not think so much about the science part, and maybe that's not for, you know, physics is not a study field for girls. And so it exists very much of this kind of attitude still, and I think it's the same in the other Scandinavian countries.
Right. Gender parity is a big conversation overall, and Finland is often held up as an example of getting it right. However, just on that note, and as an extension of what you were saying earlier, is the STEM field still viewed as a man's world in Finland?
Yes, it's not in all fields, but it's very, let's say that I think the study is right in the sense that they point out that it has to do with the way they sort of see themselves, because it becomes the STEM has become more and more sort of the boys thing. And now actually in Finland we are in general very much concerned about this difference in gender. We are sort of worried that the girls are so much better than the boys. And then I think that people sort of tend to think that it's okay that the boys have this special, you know, area where they are very good and where they can, they become really interested and motivated, because there's such a big concern about motivation for boys at school that they are not motivated enough when they become teenagers, and that's why their race are not so good. But in fact, as many people say, I'm not a typical feminist at all, but I sort of agree with this thing that at least in most areas, boys and men are getting good jobs, and there is still sort of, there's no worry when you come up to the higher level again, up to the grown-up part of the population, there is no big problem in that sense, that even though the grades are not so good maybe for the boys at school, they still get employed very well. And another aspect here in Finland is, of course, that it's not a good thing. I don't think anybody thinks it's a good thing if we don't have a gender, a sort of equal gender, for example, within lawyers, doctors, and all those important professions. It's important, of course, that there is some kind of equality. So some people are worried that it's about, I think, 70% of those who study law now are girls or women.
Another interesting finding from the research was that countries with less gender parity actually see more women in STEM, possibly because they're looking for the quickest path to financial freedom, and STEM is seen to provide that higher income. What do you think are the general career aspirations for women in Finland?
Well, that's a hard question. I don't think there is a general career aspiration. I think there are many types of women. I mean, those who are really interested in, they usually choose their study field according to their interest as well. And I also think that boys do that, but you're probably right that maybe, I have noticed that when I was a teacher, but that's already 20 years ago, but I've talked to people after that, and they say the same, that boys maybe have more the tendency to think about, when they choose their coming profession, they think about how much money they are going to make and how successful they can be in that profession, while women tend to think maybe a little bit more than the men about the meaningfulness of their future jobs. And now we are doing every year something called the Youth Barometer, and I talked to some people who are doing that this year, and they think about the questions. So they confirm this thing that the young people tend nowadays to think much more about meaningfulness than before. So it's even more, let's say, accentuated that the meaningfulness of the profession is the main reason, the interest and the meaningfulness for the choosing of career.
Right. And this, you know, the thing about the study is that the findings were actually quite controversial, because one interpretation of it was that pushing more girls into STEM might not be necessary simply because there doesn't seem to be an innate interest. How would you read this statement, and what would your takeaway be?
This is an interesting issue altogether, and I think it's important that these kind of studies also become known for more people, because I think there's so much sort of unconscious attitudes and ways of dealing with boys and girls in the school that still should be worked on. I mean, we have been working on that, with the attitudes towards, you know, how do you deal with boys, how do you deal with girls, and how these really, really old patterns of sort of communicating with boys or girls, they are still there, even though we think that they have disappeared, that you are sort of treating both boys and girls in the same way. But there still are very unconscious patterns that are hard to get, you know, rid of. But this is important that we bring it up in this way, because as we know, everyone should learn enough of the STEM in the future. It's a very important future competence. So today it's already an important competence. So of course, this should be something that should be equally distributed. But because it's a difficult, you know, because we are not doing anything special in Finland right now for this thing. And this just gives me the inspiration that I think I have to talk to some people about it more, so that maybe we could put this into some studies that are being done. As I said, the Center for Evaluation, for example, they should actually take this question very seriously now.
Finland is seen as the pioneer in gender equality, and that's reflected in statistics and indices around the world. Does that sometimes create blind spots in identifying the gender inequality that still exists in STEM?
Sure. And I mean, statistics is always statistics. It doesn't give the whole picture at all. No, that's true. And in the world today, I guess it's the most important thing still is, and I, it comes up all the time. I think that we need to have teachers who are, you know, they are continually developing themselves and their ways of teaching and their knowledge and they their understanding of the modern world and including technology. And this is one thing. And if they are excited enough about teaching and about learning things, we will also have young people and children who are excited about learning. And this is the most important thing of all. So this is something that we've had in Finland. This is maybe the strongest or the strength of the Finnish educational system. And that's why we are concerned, of course, when we see, you know, the curves are changing or the gender difference. Why is it like that? So we have been discussing that very much, that we have to do now deeper analysis of why, what is the reason for the results that we get in certain measurements. And I think that's, you know, important in the whole world. Yeah.
Gun, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. You just heard from Gun Åkerboom, former director at the Department for Education in Swedish at the Finnish National Agency for Education. She was talking to us about a recent study that looked, a 2018 study rather, that looked at the gender gap in STEM. Now, if you have any thoughts on this story, you know, how can we get more girls and women into STEM? And specifically, do you think it's an issue more on the economy as opposed to one that is out of interest or something else entirely? You can call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. And I think when we first sort of saw this study coming out, it was really on the thought that, oh, you know, and we really saw some of the, how do I put it, the more minimist channels, minimist commenters saying, well, this just proves it, that girls and women are inherently not interested in science. So why should we put focus there? You know, why don't we just get boys to do science because that's what they're into?
Yeah, and, you know, it's completely sexist line of thought that people are weighing in. You know, it's still surprising to me how much sexism there is in when it comes to education and development. Because it, you know, like the studies show that you know, women are better at STEM, and not even that. I was actually reading another article saying that women in general are better at reading. They have a higher interest in men to read and pay attention to, you know, whether it's current affairs or fiction. So, you know, it really is an outdated idea. And, you know, I have a little sister and she loves reading more than my brother and I. So for me, that's already a case in point.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, the drop-off again is quite unfortunate, right? That we see that happening because it's not out of this interest. You know, they clearly have dedicated so much time and attention. And when I say drop-off, meaning they reach PhD levels and they drop out. It's unfortunate that it's out of life-based circumstances that they cannot get out of. Again, if you have any thoughts, call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We will be heading to the 5:30 news. Before we have some music coming up, though. It's Nancy Sinatra with These Boots Are Made for Walking. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.